Okay. Hello, welcome to the High Ground, powered by Premier Companies. Jeff, how are you this morning?
I'm doing wonderful, Sal. Is there anything special about this podcast?
There is something special about this podcast. It is the 200th episode of the High Ground.
Wow.
I know. There were some people that didn't think we'd get this far.
So did you bring a special guest?
Yes, we did. The CEO of Premier Ag, Mr. Harold Cooper. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Well, thanks for having me. Very special day.
Harold, did you think we'd get this far?
I formally went on... I was very formal with this. Said you, my over under was 10. I did not think you'd get to 10.
And that wasn't months or years. That was 10.
I wasn't here then, so you probably didn't have the confidence in your team at the
time. That's true.
I take some credit for that motivation. Okay.
We'll prove Harold wrong.
I didn't think he gets a 200 either, so well done.
We'll have you back for the 1,000th episode, yeah. Okay?
Dig me up.
Well, we got to start with the question of the day, even if it's at the anniversary, the 200th episode. And I think this is the same one we had you on last, Harold. Is the what was a recent book or article that you've read, and what was it about?
Well, I'll take a different vein on that since I've been traveling some here recently, and I'll just talk more about casual reading or beach reading and things like that. But a couple of authors I would just strongly recommend. First off, Alexander Dumas. If you ever want to read Count of Monte Cristo or Three Musketeers, by far my favorite writer in that regard. The other thing authors have really enjoyed, if you have ever been at Sanibel Island or Marco Island, Fort Myers area, Florida, there's a writer down there named Randy Wayne White. And there's actually a Doc Ford restaurant even, but some tremendous characters he brings in that area. And it's all about, it's one of these, again, he's saving the world or saving someone. But so if you like those kinds of novels, he's just a tremendous writer with some excellent characters. So Randy Wayne White.
All right. And Jeff, yours is probably Fertilizer Markets recently.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The Green Markets prophecy. Green Markets. I'm probably going to take a different slant on this and say that probably the thing I've done recently is I've been listening to a podcast. And several of them, but one I think is there's a Catholic priest out there, Father Chris Alar, and he does a whole series on back to seminary, and so it just explains some things that you know about our faith and stuff, and it's been really interesting. It's kind of got my attention lately, so I will throw that one out there.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
I'm all over the board. I'm all mixed up. I've been going everything from historical fiction to history books to I'm back into Churchill again, but I like the kind of other books I like to read, and one I got going now is called Humble Pie: When Math Goes Wrong. It just talks about engineering mistakes or errors or common gambler's fallacies and just things like that. Just things about math that you wouldn't ordinarily.
Have you been making errors lately and you're trying to feel better about yourself? Or is there a psychological thing here?
Just proving Kim and Kate that I'm right all the time. Using my statistics. Now,
so it is fiction.
Yeah. Lost credibility for the rest of the day.
Yeah. Well, this being our 200th episode, Harold, you've been here from the beginning, and other than episodes 1, 34, 64, and 163. So what have you liked about the podcast and getting it started? Obviously this is just information and entertainment, but what have you liked about the concept and keeping it going, I guess?
And I'm going to speak more generally. I have very much enjoyed when you been able to bring in decision makers and leaders of various things that are going on in our economy or in our country with the industries that we serve. But when you truly get folks that are directly engaged into it and hear them in this kind of a informal setting, it's different than we hear in business meetings or in any other medium. That a podcast, I think, a lot of times brings a more social aspect to some of these folks, and it makes them feel a little bit more alive or touchable. And I've enjoyed that very much with some of the leaders you have brought into this room. The other one is I've liked employee profiles. It's you never know what they're going to say. Billy House, I mean, That's always a wild card, right? So, but it's been fun to see. Again, I think podcast puts people in a different setting, a different frame of mind, and it's fun to learn them that way.
I think they give different information when we're just having a conversation instead of them getting up and giving a speech.
Totally agree. Yeah.
That's been the, and I think the other thing, we've had some guests on here that before I'm sitting there thinking, is this really going to be interesting? And then you get into it, yeah. And it's like, you know, we're going on for 30 and 40 minutes and going, wow, I mean, that was great. I didn't expect that.
Yeah, I was actually with Tony Westner with Rose Acres yesterday. And like, again, people let their guard down a little bit. They get very much more upfront and this is what I think. And it's fun to hear that candor.
Do you think that's because Sal and I are just really great hosts? you could go on the record right now.
It has to be that. That's,
I feel better about myself already.
Oh boy. I just don't think we're going to get paid for this. I really don't yet.
We're probably going to get a pay cut.
Sounds like 201 is an aspiration at this point.
He's talking about Billy House. We seldom have to do any editing. And a matter of fact, we don't. I mean, very seldom do we have to edit. We had to take out like 5 minutes of his talk one time.
And I'll give you my one annoyance real quick. We're probably too much in this segment, but I very much hate when I give all this great information about co-op history and what Premier's doing to get beat by bugs in corn as number of views. It's very disturbing. So.
Yeah, I can see. Well, speaking of co-op history, we're going to talk a little bit about looking back and kind of leading forward a little bit. And just, and I know you've had this conversation before, but looking back at, you know, being the first co-op in Indiana, we're coming up on 100 years.
98 and a half years.
98 and a half years this month. And so what do you see from your standpoint, just about, I think, the recent changes of the last 10 years, and obviously going in from the Premier Ag and Jackson Jennings merger, the Premier Ag and White River merger, and then the energy acquisitions, and just how Premier Ag has changed in the last 10 years. And can you just give us a little bit of insight about that and your thoughts on that this past decade?
Yeah, and I really do think, and I think it's an especially important moment to reflect back on the character and the values and those that first started this company. And I always start there and say, you know, those folks in 1927, with what they were facing with lack of supply, poor quality, unfair pricing, and really it was a very difficult economic climate at that point, for them to, I always use this line, but with nothing but ambition and need to gather together and say, if anything's going to happen, we're just going to get together with each other and form something to help ourselves. And what a statement to make in 2025 to inspire this year and this group of leaders for now, and to think about what we will look like going forward. Because I agree with you, Sal. I think there's going to be as much, we've gone through as much change in the last 20 years as they would have experienced in our inception, in our founding. And as you go forward and think about robotics and AI and decision-making, even the change in energy and energy choices. I mean, Country Mark just made a $100 million investment to, we already, our state of Indiana is already using over 40% of the corn that we raise in the state of Indiana goes into liquid fuel. It goes into energy. Country Mark just made a $100 million investment. Now we're going to use soybean oil to make renewable diesel fuel. That's going to be 250,000 acres of soybeans. That's nearly 5% of what our state produces, all in southern Indiana, concentrated in southern Indiana. And to think about the different ways that we can help our growers expand a market and develop something that is consumed or used locally, and to help sort out emerging technologies, ways to either use automation, real-time decision-making as they power their tractors. Those are going to be as exciting for our future, and how the co-op helps lead and come alongside our farmer owners as when we were founded. So I just think it's so exciting. And it's nice because those that came before us, these 98 and a half years, have built the capacity for us in a balance sheet, in capable employees, in facility, that we really are right now, I think, positioned very, very well to help those farmers and help this company not only survive, but succeed and be different and better in this ever-changing future that we're going to have.
What you talk about, when we would go back 98 and a half years ago and that first co-op, and I don't have any idea how many employees they have, but if we just look at your career, when you first started in your first, you know, CEO role, how many employees did you have then and how many do you have now? And what message can you give to our employees at Premier Ag?
Well, we had roughly 50, and I'm assuming a third of those were in gas stations. We were in retail, so we had very few fuel truck drivers and those kinds of things. When I started with Premier in 2000, so I've only been with this company 25 years, it was an $18 million company with roughly 50 employees. And today we're roughly $700 million with nearly 600 employees. Wow. And that's not necessarily something that's good or bad, other than what value does it bring? Specifically, what value does it bring? And I've learned in my last few years, I used to always say everything Premier does has to be about the customer. It has to be about that farmer owner. And we need to get up every day and thinking about that person and that person exclusively at the expense of anything else. I don't agree with that anymore. I think employee needs to be in that statement. And I hope we are learning as a company to do more to regard our employees and give as much time and attention and degree of importance to them and the quality of life and job we bring to them as we do our farmer owners. And I think that's really helped us in the last few years, the things that we have done as we've grown in size to build a capacity, not only to be able to do more things and stay in front of, or at least alongside our farmers as they've gotten larger, or suppliers that they've gotten larger, or grain companies as they've gotten larger, that Premier needs to be able to represent being a peer to all of those groups, that we can bring value regardless of size. In this case, I'm talking about larger folks, but Premier has to be in a point of relevance that we're attractive. And I think we've done that with what we've done. And I think the other thing it does is get back to the employee. I think it also allows us capacity to make more investments in things, whether it be from the benefits side or the recruitment side, and help give us enough capacity to make sure our employees feel like they're heard and treated well at the same time.
I think that's a good message. I think, the employees need to feel good about their company and a place to work, and that, you know, that they're taken care of. And I think we feel like a family here, and I think that's important.
Yeah, I agree with that. I hope that's true.
Yeah.
It was neat. We just had this past weekend that event at Huber's Orchard, and I'm not sure what the number was, but I was surprised at the number, and a lot of folks came a long way just to spend the afternoon together. And it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And really well done. And it did feel, I know one of our coworkers stopped me up there in the hall and just said he appreciated this, that we had this, a nice place that we could kind of go back and rest for a little bit and then go out. And I never did see Harold get his face painted, but I know my little girl got a princess crown made out of a balloon and a sword that she bonked me on the head with on the way home. But it is a good time. And it is, I think it, in our industry, and Harold said this before, we got so much commonality in this Ohio River Valley market down through and across the company, that either in Kentucky or Northern Indiana or North in Indiana, that just a lot of commonality of just social attitudes and being in the ag business or the energy business.
Yeah.
So what do you see, I guess, for the next decade? What do you see in energy or ag or livestock? Is there a common thread through all those that for the next 10 years?
Well, I think for the cooperative system, I think we have, again, built a capacity with where we're at in our life as an enterprise, that we can start becoming an enabler to some of these things. We have been a supplier or a retailer for all of our time in existence. And now we really have the opportunities to start making some investments, whether it be in additional storage along the river, in processing, in trying to help create new applications of crops to be grown. I just mentioned Country Mark. Again, we have 20% ownership in Country Mark, but there is an example of where we're going to use soybean oil grown here in Indiana and convert that into energy. And those are exciting to me. And I think Premier needs to be thinking always about how do we help our growers get in a different, better position than what they can do with their own individual farming operation. That's always going to exist. Even as we have less farmers, those farmers are still looking for ways to aggregate or gain advantage versus what they are they themselves. And I think a co-op is that perfect jump-off point. And I mentioned it earlier, but I think a lot of that's going to be some of the sorting out and trial and error, whether it be robotics or real-time decision-making through data and use of AI. A lot of those things, farmers are looking for the answers. They're looking for the solutions, same as Premier is right now. But I think we really provide that jump-off point or that trial and error place where we can both attract those solutions, sort them out, and then help support and help get them out to our growers.
You know, I think one of the, when we talk about what's coming and things change so fast, it's hard to, you know, find something, say, hey, we want to hitch our wagon to this and see where it goes. But you've done that. Your leadership that you've provided has done that with the Dial group. Mm-hmm. Can you speak a little bit of that? Because I think it ties in with what we see in the future and how we're looking at things.
Yeah. And it gets back to even Sal's original question. When you look at the core businesses that we presently are in, I mean, liquid fuels would have to, you'd have to view that as a slowly declining market. In fact, some would say it's at risk of being displaced by whether it be energy, electricity or hydrogen, whatever those other alternative sources are. Regardless, it's still a slowly declining market. Propane is a slowly declining market as you have heat pumps and more efficient usage of homes, insulation, the kinds of things. And even in row crop, you sit there as we do more and more to not treat a field, not just treat an acre, but to treat a spot of a field. Part of the advantage of doing that is you use less total product. Well, that may not necessarily be good news to Premier unless we find ways to make sure that we right size to those innovations, to those advantages to our customers and do that. And I'm not worried about that. Dial is an example where it's our means to try to look at total new ways. So the things that we're presently established in, we're presently successful in, that we think we have some importance in to our communities in what we do. If those are slowly declining, what's next? And Dial allows us to partner with Purdue University and really go out and add hire, in this case, I think there's 12 fellows, but Purdue has hired 12 professionals across the country, across various businesses, across various enterprises. They've already been successful in different industry. Now they bring that knowledge and that talent into agriculture and say, what problems are you facing? What opportunities are there for you? And can we transfer what has been successful for us someplace else into agriculture, into solutions for you? And we're a direct funder of that. We hope companies are formed out. In fact, I think there's been 9 companies formed now.
And we were the first.
Yeah. And we'll get a chance to make further investments in that. There's some of those that we say, that idea has really taken off. We put originally $3 million into this whole thing. But someday, if we really say that's something that has application not only for us, but we think it's an application for our industry or for our growers, we can always put additional funding to it and create a whole new revenue source and a new way to help our growers that wasn't there before.
All right. Well, Harold, as we got 200 episodes behind us from a Premier Ag perspective, what legacy do you hope Premier Ag continues to build?
I would love to, and I kind of got started with it this way, but when I look back at 1927 and the character and the quality of that group, nothing would make me prouder as I get close to my own retirement and to say, I carried my time of the torch as well as they did. I mean, the ambition and the aggressiveness and all it took for them from a character standpoint, just a can-do attitude and we'll do it ourselves, a work ethic. Going forward, I hope this company always represents those qualities, those values of our founders. And that would make me very, very proud.
All right.
And those founding members did not have Sal working for them. So you've had just a little bit of an extra benefit.
They worked Fridays.
You know, Thomas, when I said we didn't edit things, we'll clip that part out. Well, I think on that note, I think that's a good one to end our 200th one on. Jeff, you have anything else?
No, I think it's been great to have Harold come in and share, you know, some of the history of the company and talk about where we're going. I think that's great. And it's a great place to work.
All right. Thank you, Harold.
Thank you.
That's another episode of The High Ground, powered by Premier Companies. Thank you all very much.